Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would think that there are some people in this room who have a common obsession. It's an obsession that has led some of you to move to Scottsdale. It's an obsession of chasing a little white ball around. I would guess that some of you are so obsessed by this that you probably would admit in the deepest, darkest depths of your heart that you have had dreams and maybe even nightmares about the game of golf. I've lived here 3 years. I've golfed twice. And it's not that I don't enjoy going golfing, it's just that I don't want to be an embarrassment to the people I golf with. Because most of you take it way too seriously to golf with me. I used to golf with a couple of guys that I was on the first aid squad with back in New Jersey, and we'd golf, I don't know, maybe 5 times a year. And we all had one thing in common. We weren't very good golfers. And so we developed a mindset in terms of how we were going to golf, and we used an application of rules that don't really exist anywhere else except in our own little minds. Now, I don't know if it happens here, but in other places where the weather is much more variable, they have this thing called winter rules. And if I get this wrong, you can correct me. And the winter rules then give you a little added push in terms of where you might be able to place a ball, pick things up, or try again according to the damage that's done to the course over winter. So we wanted to take that one step further, and so what we developed was known as Bosnian winter rules. Because what I discovered in Bosnia in the 6 times I was there is they don't have any golf courses. Which means we can make up the rules as we go along. Which is the essence, then, of the Bosnian winter rule golf edict. And so Bosnian winter rules basically allowed us to do things that most golfers wouldn't do. We would go into rural Pennsylvania to do most of our golfing because they're very empty in their golf courses there. So there's nobody behind pushing. And so we would golf. We'd hit the ball and would see where the ball went. And we've determined in our minds whether we might be able to do better if we'd try again. And so, if we thought we could do better by trying again, we would try again. And sometimes even a third time. On every time we hit the ball. That is the essence of the Bosnian winter rule. There's another word for that. It's a mulligan. You know, the really good golfers use that word. We don't use that word because we weren't really good golfers. And it's basically a do-over. If you mess up or flub up on one, you get to try again. But there's a limitation to how many times you can do that. With Bosnian winter rules, there is no limitation. And so we would use that experience time and time again, just to do it over one more time. In this week's men's Bible breakfast, the question came up about Lazarus. What happened to him? Biblically, all we have is that in the 12th chapter of John, that the Pharisees didn't like him because he was kind of becoming this cultish rock star sort of guy, the walking dead, the man who had come back to life. And so the Pharisees decided it would be best to kind of get rid of him. Now from there, the rest comes with Christian tradition. There's two different traditions. One is, upon hearing that, he fled to France, where he became the Bishop of Marseille. Whatever. The thing that begins with an M and ends in an E and has a couple of S's and L's in between. That town. So he goes there, he becomes bishop, and then eventually he's martyred. The other place, or the other tradition, is that he flees to Cyprus and he becomes bishop there. And he leads a long, healthy, life back then, he makes it to 60. And he dies, and they put him in a big sarcophagus, and they put on four-day Lazarus, friend of Jesus, on the sarcophagus. And then it's rumored that Constantine comes, collects the sarcophagus, takes it back to Constantinople, and builds a big church in Cyprus in Lazarus' honor. But that's all we know. What we know from the story is this is probably the biggest mulligan you can ever have. Lazarus back to life. A do-over. And obviously from the Christian tradition that we have before us, the do-over was pretty good. He kind of took his life and he became a follower of Christ, and he became one who was fairly powerful, I think, in terms of his proclamation of the gospel. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to have that opportunity? Do hope. But we do. Part of what our understanding of the faith is wrapped around the green avocado here, our baptismal font. Because in that baptismal font, we're told there is that gift of life. So when we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're given the promise of God's presence in our lives forever. We're given the promise of eternal life. And as we go through this world and through this life, we're given the promise of forgiveness being offered to us time and time again. And what is forgiveness, friends? The mulligan. Now, we can't erase the past. The things that we do are done. But in the eyes of God and the relationship we have with God through the waters of baptism, and when we reach out in forgiveness, it is a gone thing. The past has been erased. And we have that opportunity to live our lives anew. We have that mulligan experience, to be able to go out and do it once again, to try things over again, to be the person that God has called us to be a little bit more faithful, to be a little bit more loyal, to be a little bit more loving, more caring, more gracious, more kind, more giving. Through the waters of baptism, through the forgiveness that we receive. Lazarus had an inside connection. Always good to have family friends, isn't it? And so he used this mulligan that Jesus had given him to go on and to do greater things within his life. God calls us to do nothing less than the same. But it isn't through an experience where we're going to die and come back from the dead, but rather it's an experience where we die to sin and come back to life in Christ. For when we seek out forgiveness from God for the things that we've done, we receive this absolution that allows us to continue on in faith, to begin anew, to start things over again, to really approach the world from that mulligan standpoint, or Bosnian winter rules, if you'd like. But we have, each and every day, that opportunity to go out into this world and to do it a little better. To go out into this world and to live it a little better. To go out into this world and to love it a little bit better. To go out into this world and to give it a little bit better. To go out each and every day and to be able to utilize that which God has blessed us with, and to be able to share those gifts with the world a little bit better than we did the day before. To use the lessons we've learned through the wrongs that we've done and the sins that we've committed and the forgiveness that we've gained to be a little bit better of a person than we were the day before. To embrace the things that God has blessed us with and to use them to make sure that this day is a better day than the day before. For Lazarus, he was given the gift of life once again on that very particular day. For us, we are given the gift of life again and again and again. to give us the opportunity to serve God, to give us the opportunity to love our neighbor, to give us the opportunity to do the things that God has called us to do within our lives. We have been blessed and gifted with more things than we can ever imagine. And God has given us those gifts to use for His greater glory, to be able to be servants to this world in which we live. To be able to go out and seek out in a different way each and every day ways to be able to share our love, that love that God has blessed us with, to go out and make a change within this world, to do those things that God has asked us to do. And we can do it better each day, because in each day we grow in faith, and each day we grow in love. And with each day, we have that blessing of forgiveness that allows us, like Lazarus, to pick ourselves up, unbind us from the past, and to go out into the world and do the things that God has called us to do. We are blessed by being Lazarus each and every day through God's love and through God's forgiveness. This day is a mulligan day. Make the shot better than the last one you did. Amen.